Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tune.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren Bresnitz is currently on his way back from Los Angeles, so I will be holding down the fort myself. That was just Bad Credit, No Credit, who will be in studio live. Six people, pretty excited about that, live horns on a Sunday. I would say winter is officially here. What do you guys think?
It's cold.
It's freezing. It's beyond freezing.
Oh, you're Australian. You know nothing.
I've never experienced a season before until I moved to New York, so...
This is true.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I lived in Perth, Australia for most of my life, and then I moved to Miami for about 4 years, and there's just no seasons in either of those places. So New York is definitely the complete opposite of that, and going into my second winter here is pretty intense.
We have Jeff and Janine from Root and Bone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What lie did you have to tell Jeff to convince her to come up here and open this restaurant with you?
It wasn't a lie. It was more of a reality that we're getting older every day. And if you're ever going to take a shot at New York, you better do it while you still have some blood in your veins. And well, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Janine's pretty young still. But
I heard you've been 37 for 5 years now.
I'm 36, I think. I don't know.
I want to go back a second. I know that you were raised on boats, worked at a little cafe. What was the first dish that you mastered for seafood?
Oh, my God. I was barely raised on boats. I got a job scrubbing the barnacles off the bottom of boats.
That's still
much.
A job on a boat.
Yeah.
I guess technically outside a boat.
They called me a bait boy, I think was my technical...
What's a... Hot. Yeah. What's a bait boy is like technical
the
definition?
The guy that brings all the sardines and cuts the cigar minnows and puts them on hooks and... makes the chum buckets and
what goes into chum? Like what's like
whatever leftovers you can find. So I worked for a guy that had restaurants and he also had fishing boats, and so restaurants are perfect sister companies for a restaurant because for a fishing village because you have a lot of garbage you can kind of grind up and you put it in pantyhose. You take your mom's leftover pantyhose and you stuff it full of chicken hearts and gizzards and anything bloody, and then you tie it in the pantyhose and you drop it down in the water and it just makes this perfume that goes through the ocean that brings all the fish and crabs and everything around.
Chum.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Make it on a chum boy. So what was the first dish that you feel like?
Probably shrimp and grits. I remember making clams casino at a young age, but first seafood dish was probably shrimp and grits.
And you? Your first dish that you feel you perfected?
My first dish that I feel like I perfected? Well, being from Australia, I have a lot of like kind of Southeast Asian influences, and that always really excited me. So I'd say just mastering curries in general. So,
What was like the trick that you're like, aha, this is how you nail a curry?
Just like fresh ingredients, not taking any, you know, kind of shortcuts,
good
fresh
spice,
ingredients. Yeah. Yeah, good spices, like not going to a grocery store to get all of your spices, going to like an Asian market and sourcing your ingredients from there and making sure they're super fresh.
How did you two meet?
Oh, goodness. Over meatloaf, I think.
Yeah, it was over meatloaf.
Do you want the meatloaf story?
Yeah, I would all love right. it.
Do you want to tell it?
No, Jeff.
Wait, no. How about
Jeff
you guys?
Is a great storyteller.
Every other sentence.
Yeah, well, I'll try it for a few, and she'll probably interrupt. So that's every other sentence. You sure you want this on the air? The whole thing?
Yeah. No,
all right. Here it goes.
You're really good.
Exclusive.
Telling this story.
So Janine walked into the restaurant. I had a little restaurant called Gigi's in Midtown, and
well, you got to name the city. There's a lot of Midtown.
Midtown, Miami.
You guys have worked extensively.
Yeah, that's right. So we were in Miami. I opened a restaurant, been open for a handful of months, was doing really well. I think she came in with some friends around 6 or 7 in the evening, and I was very busy. I was working the walk station, and you know, we just opened, and I was trying to balance a lot of things, so I was probably annoyed at any time a server came to me and said I needed to go say something to somebody. Server came up and said, there's this gorgeous girl who's in culinary school and would love to meet you. And I think I probably...
As often happens to chefs.
It doesn't, really. And I don't know why. I just chose to not. And I, you know, it was a dumb move. But I was too busy. I didn't meet her. She left. I guess she came back at like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
2 o'clock a.m. Gigi stayed up until like 4.
Well, and we actually came back to go to the club that was next door, and we were in the car park, and I was looking at the club, and then I was looking at the restaurant, and I was thinking, I can either go and dance and party, or I can go back and have this meatloaf dish, which I had at Gigi's, and I was like, signaled to my girls, like, let's Let's go and eat again, because that's what I do.
So the meatloaf dish is really cool. It's very unique. We have it at Root and Bone, actually. I think we had to put it on. But anyway, she came back in, sat down. I think the same server or hostess came up to me and said, hey, this girl's back. Not only is she back to eat the same thing, but she wrote a paper on you.
And I'm sure at this point you're probably like, holy shit, I have a stalker.
Classic.
So,
do chefs have stalkers?
No, I don't know. I'm sure some big time guys do.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not us.
Yeah,
I'll let you know if we get to that level.
Send me an SOS. I'd be like, oh, who knew? And I need help.
I might enjoy it. Yeah. Make him a personal assistant or something. Anyway, so she sat down again, and I wasn't good about going out again, and she ordered the meatloaf again, and apparently she had said something about, I think her friends were teasing her because she had to write a paper, and she wound up writing it on me. So I caught her on the way out. She was walking out, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this stunning, beautiful girl walking out, as chefs often see in an open kitchen, and the entire
staff. Is that
why
they have open kitchens?
Yeah, we have code words for it and stuff.
What's the code word?
Some places fire chocolate cake. Some places it's...
Red Robin.
I mean, it depends. Each kitchen has their own term for, watch out, there's a hot chick walking by.
Fire chocolate cake, okay.
Yeah. So I think a code word might have went out, like, look at the hot chick walking out. Yeah. And the server came up and was like, that's the girl who you've ignored twice now, who's been in and eaten the meatloaf twice. And I ran up to her. I said, hey, I'm sorry. You've been really busy. I understand you're in culinary school and you wrote some kind of paper. And I'm Jeff. And thanks for coming in. Thanks for the support. And it was nice. It was our first meet. She was a little reluctant to admit about the paper.
Yeah, what was the paper about?
Well, she was supposed to do a full interview.
I'm asking her.
Yeah. Well, she'll lie.
Oh, okay.
So I was supposed to do a paper on a chef in my area that I was inspired by, and I just moved to Miami, so I didn't really know any chefs that I was inspired by, but I would drive past this spot, Gigi's, every single day, and there was a line out the door, and so I was like, oh, I wonder who the chef is from Gigi's, and I did some research, and I saw that he was pretty cute, and... like, oh, well, he seems like a good
person. She was supposed to interview me.
And I was supposed to interview Jeff, and I didn't. I completely fabricated.
She lied in college.
Oh, you did?
And if the professor's listening.
Yeah. I did a little bit of research, but I made your life very, very exciting. And
she wrote an entire paper that was an interview-based paper. And I found out, and I told her basically that she had a choice. I could either contact her professor and rat her out, or she could come and work at Gigi's with me for a little while.
So I ended up working for you on the Tuesday after we first met. So yeah. And I worked for Jeff for 2 years for free.
For free?
I was...
Oh, you were still in school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
And did you... here's the classic question. Do you feel you learned more at the restaurant or when you were in school?
I put everything that I had into my school, and I think that any culinary school that you go to, it's whatever you put in, you get in return. So I definitely feel like I got a good education from culinary school, but there's no education like you learn when you're in the industry and like you're in the restaurant every day. So
You both have traveled on some pretty great places to learn more of your craft. What is it that you can, pick up and just even in like the short amount of time that you... By traveling, I know you were in Africa. I know you went around to a bunch of different Asian places. What are some of the skills and lessons you picked up while visiting those places?
Well, I mean, I traveled through Asia. I traveled through Europe. The culture, especially in Southeast Asia, is completely different to anything I've ever experienced. And seeing like some of the tools that they use, I volunteered in an elephant reserve where they like kind of take in these disabled elephants, and they have this whole campus where they take people in to like build houses and build like a bunch of different things. And so these ladies that were cooking, it was all in Thailand, they had these crazy amount of tools and very unique things that I'd never seen before. So, and the same with all over Asia, they kind of very, very rustic, I guess. So pretty unique in that sense. Also, like, everything's just kind of... they use very basic ingredients to make something taste like unbelievable. So,
cool.
Yeah, you.
My favorite stage. I spent a couple months in Egypt, and I was in Sharm el Sheikh, Egypt, and I learned how to make curry from an Indian guy who it was like one of those recipes that you just knew when he started that you were going to learn something real. And he's like, "Yeah, this is about a 700-year-old recipe." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's we don't know how long it's been in the family, but it's great, 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 great grandmother. We have it written down from there." And so he started going through it, and I was just mesmerized. So I think we did that curry a few times. But it was just more of a technique instead of what he was doing as far as spices and everything goes. It was more of a technique of frying onions and then pureeing them with water and, like, real raw basic ingredients, but just technique that you would have never thought of. Frying it until it's black and then pureeing it with water. And it was like all these little things that he did with normal ingredients that we in America would always cook but not do it the way they did. So I don't know. I think that was probably my most interesting experience.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about the new spot and what's it like to, you know, having, you know, a little bit of blood left in your body to make it in New York.
Jackie left a little elf, speaking Jesus. We cannot just begin. I miss you very much. To cry together every day, we have to stay in touch. And Jackie, baby, take my hand, smooth your tresses. Tears are falling on stocking tops and newly sewn summer dresses. Oh, Jackie's kisses, Jackie's kisses, Jackie's kisses, Jackie's kisses. Oh, Jackie's kisses, Jackie's kisses, Jackie's kisses, Jackie's kisses. We'll always be so much to me.
Perfect winter music. So you two in Miami, you decided that you want to live a little and that you hate yourselves and you want to open up a restaurant in New York. Where does the idea come from? Or where does the idea take root? All pun intended.
Take root, yeah, that was a good one.
Professional.
Janine came up with a name which was very appropriate, Root and Bone. So it's, you know, it's food and it's food from our roots. It's a restaurant that's not pretentious. It's casual enough, but the food's great, and it just, I don't know, the name fit in, and it made sense, and I think her and I had a good run in Miami, but everybody knows that New York is the food mecca of the world right now, and it's time to take a stab.
I mean, what was some of the reasons for leaving Miami? I mean, I could probably list them having never lived there, but for someone that was in it.
Well, for me, I'm Australian. I have this, like, intense travel bug that I guess I was just born with. And since I left high school, I've just traveled for the last, 10 years. I've traveled a lot. And I kind of put down roots in Miami for about 4 years. And it was just time for me to kind of do something else. And although, like, Miami will always probably be somewhere I hold very close to my heart, and maybe one day I'll move back there, I've always had felt that New York was kind of the next step for me. And Jeff, I guess you kind of felt the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I'd been in Miami for 7 years, still love it. There's nothing to not love. But I guess the last restaurant I had was Yardbird, which we did really well at.
Which I've been at.
Yeah.
Couple times.
Insanely successful, great place. I think we knocked it out of the park there, and we just, we thought that that New York was the next step, and definitely brought some flavors of that as an inspiration to New York. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'd be working the line or expo at Yardbird, and somebody would be like, I'm in New York, come open one.
Yeah.
And now it's vice versa. Everybody's coming in. I mean, it's just, there's a lot. I think probably 30-40% of the people that live in New York are in Miami for some point in time. It's strange.
I got family down there.
Yeah, everybody has family down there.
And everyone's just like escapes.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. When the winter's rough, the perfect 2-hour flight down to Miami, spend a couple of weeks there. It's the perfect escape.
Yeah, but Yardbird also felt very much like a New York restaurant. It didn't feel like a lot of the other Miami.
Right.
Like, the design was really subtle. It was beautiful. Yeah.
My friend Chris Romero did some intense work on the design, and it was nice. It felt homey and quaint. Still does.
So how have you felt eaters would be of, you know, Miami versus New York? Do you sense like a difference in the clientele or any like notable characteristic traits?
I think New Yorkers definitely know their food. Everyone's a critic. Everyone knows exactly what they want out of something, and so in that sense, it's you know, we definitely have tough critics, but at the same time, everyone's been really enjoying what we've been putting out. So
the restaurant we just opened is, I mean, we have 50 seats tops. It's small. It's quaint.
It's delicious.
It's in a little village. It's in the East Village. It's a neighborhood restaurant, and we hope to get more seats soon. But for now, it's just, you know, we focus on feeding a lot of people that live across the street and upstairs, and it's a little quaint mom and pop shop.
Mom and your pop.
I want to be mom.
You can be mom. And have you brought any of the dishes from Yardbird up to Root and Bone?
Not too much. I mean, the fried chicken is very unique that we do. We brine it in sweet tea, so it's a different brine. We have a powder that we put on the outside. We dehydrate lemons, actually. We make lemon chips. We dehydrate them until they're crispy, and we make like a lemon powder. And so it's got this zesty zing coating on the outside. We're proud to be getting some stuff from Pennsylvania, some chickens out of Pennsylvania from Amish country.
How did you go about selecting your chickens? And how long did it take?
Janine found some cool purveyors before we had plenty of time because building the place in New York is a different story. It's tough here. So we had time to shop around, but Janine found some guys, we had time to find a lot of cool purveyors, and, we found a guy that drives all the way out to Pennsylvania to like a co-op. And, you know, as far as the vegetables go, it's a place called Grow NYC.
Yeah, we have like a forager who
this guy just brings
connects
us
with a lot of small farms that are really cool. And like every week is, you know, one week you can get watermelons, the next they're out. Like you've cleared up farm. So every week is kind of different, and it's...
Yeah. It's nice with a 50-seat restaurant. We have a printer downstairs that prints a menu, so we change it, we tweak it, we do what we need to do, and we get to stay true to our roots and true to what's up here, and the seasons have been a lot of fun. You know, Ginny and I were just talking about how we've never experienced seasons, so to see the produce list just drastically change.
Yeah, that is definitely the positive side of living somewhere where the seasons do actually change, is that you see... Like, the farmers' markets are amazing, and the seasons are changing, and all of a sudden you're seeing less watermelons, less tomatoes and corn, and you're seeing more of, you know, even more squash that we've never seen before or experienced.
The roots are in right now.
We're able to experiment with. It's really cool.
What are you excited about this week?
The pumpkins are obviously out of control. There's so many different squash and pumpkins.
Yeah, every week there's like a different pumpkin or a different squash added to our list of things that we're experimenting with.
Janine just decided that kohlrabi is
my new favorite vegetable. So we've been using a lot of green kohlrabi, and this week we have red kohlrabi, which is like super exciting for me. It's kind of like when you roast it, it's kind of funky like a sunchoke. Sunchokes are like my favorite
last week's favorite.
Yeah. Pass. Well, I want to thank you for coming in. Where can people find you? How can they follow you? Reservations?
We don't take reservations, but if you get in early, then there's no wait. So you can just come on by. Our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter is root, the letter N, bone NYC. And you'll find me at Chef Janine Booth and Jeff at Chef McInnes.
Amazing. Well, thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
We have Bad Credit, No Credit coming up live in studio.
I am broken. I am hollow. Oh, I'll leave the world I know. Let me fall from the place I stand. Keep it simple, tell them nothing's new. After all, it's true. Let the sound of your voice be plain. You are still young and you still have time. These words destroyed my mind into thinking that I'm okay. I have nothing, it is only me. It makes me sound so free, but I'm lost in a place I know. I am me, no more. I'm gone forever, for sure. For sure. What a feeling it is too. Oh, to hate what you've allowed. Allowed the world to see of you. Now you're nowhere to be found. Let your chest sink, let your eyes sink too. Let the world pass through till you find what you can't let go. Let the streets die, let the rest go home. Let me be alone with the songs that I just can't sing. I am sorry, this is so not me. I know how it must seem when you can't even fake a smile. And if it's over, I am not aware. I struggle and I stare, and I talk to myself all night. I am me, no more. I'm gone forever, for sure. For sure. What a feeling it is too. Oh, to hate what you allow. Allow the world to see of you. Now you're nowhere to be found. Ooh. Ooh. I'm sorry that you had to be. From a place that I could leave, I could leave so easily. What a feeling it is too. Oh, to hate what you allowed. Allowed the world to see of you. Now you're nowhere to be found.
All right. Welcome back, Snacky Tunes. Darren Bresnan's still not here. What a jerk. Want to welcome back, Credit No Credit, to the show. Hey, guys.
Hi.
And girl. Some of you have been here before.
Yes.
Some of you first time. First time people. You want to go around the room and just kind of let us know who you are?
Hi, I'm Josh. I play bass. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Really well.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Maybe you can say your team.
Carter, on Team Carter. I play trumpet. Second time being on the show. First time caller.
Yeah.
Second time caller.
Yeah. Third time listener.
Third time listener.
I'm Ryan. I play saxophone. I like badminton.
Oh.
That's my team.
That's.
I'm Trevor. I play the trombone.
Okay.
I'm Chris. I play the drums.
My team's the Giants.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Carrie Ann, and I make vocals and saxophone. I make sax. And my team is the Seahawks.
Yes.
So how did you guys all come together? I mean, it's a pretty great sound. I love it. I love like large ensembles, especially with brass. How did you guys, how did this happen? Tell me a story.
Well, it's a very convoluted and weird story. I met everybody in very different ways. Carter was the first among this group. I started the group many years ago.
First among equals.
Yes, exactly. I started the group, or rather, the group was started for me around 2008. And we went through many, many changes over the years. None of the original members still live in New York. But the next best thing was Carter, who we found through Craigslist.
Really? What was the Craigslist ad?
I don't know. Andy did it. Do you remember, Carter?
I do not remember. I remember it had that allure. It had that Andy Russell Thomas charm. So like,
but yeah. Do people still look for, like, I mean, what, we're like, oh, I want to join a band. Let me look on Craigslist, or like, what's the?
I mean, this was 2009, yeah, so. Yeah. You know, those were different days. Nobody
no, I know.
Really
that's what I'm asking.
Facebooking.
No,
I don't know. I'm lucky enough to have these guys now and not have to be on Craigslist. So, you know, God bless you. If you still have to do it, stick with it.
Yeah. I don't even know if anyone that would even look on
You know,
I would now, actually, or I would put up an ad again.
Yeah?
I mean, we found Carter. Craigslist has my, like, blessing for life because he's also, like, my best friend now. So. Yeah. You know, Craigslist.
Wait, were you
great.
Looking for a best friend? Or
I
were you
was.
For
I was, and it totally worked out.
Yeah, I actually found. I'm Trevor. I found the band on Craigslist, and I realized I know some of these fools already.
What? Really? We were on Craigslist?
Yeah, and then
was that
like,
Andy again? God.
Ryan Weisheit. I know this cat.
That's funny, because I met Ryan on the street on 8th Avenue or something, and I saw he was carrying a sax.
Wow.
Because, you know, New York. Yeah. And I guess I was feeling extroverted.
And it was, what's his name?
Oh, and I was with Red Hunter.
You were with Red.
Yeah, and you knew him.
I knew Red through a mutual friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that makes me sound less ballsy, so we'll leave that part out next time.
yeah.
And Chris, we found through Jason, who found us through Carter. Jason's not here today. And Josh was recommended to me by some of the members of our favorite band. I think it's our collective favorite band called Not Blood Paint. They're local guys.
And then when you said the band was put together for you, what do you mean?
It was really weird. So I was in this band for about 8 months with these guys that never played out. They were really strange dudes. One was like about 15 years older than me. His name was Jet, and he wore sunglasses at night, and he would say things like, "Little lady, you don't know how to talk rock and roll."
Where is he now?
I don't know. I see him. I see him every once in a while, and he doesn't talk to me. I don't know why. Because I got kicked out of that band eventually, and they never told me why. But there was one person who heard us, and her name was Elaine. And she decided to. She was the only person sad about it because she was also the only person who heard us. And so she got a band together for us. Her boyfriend and herself and Jason Conklin. And it was a nice little group to start.
That's amazing. Let's hear a song.
Yeah,
let's hear,
we
let's
have
hear
songs.
A tune. Yeah.
This is the first one's from back in those old days. So. Yeah.
What is it?
A vampire song.
Do we have an album that it's on too?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us, Carter?
It's on the whole Buffalo vampire song. It's actually, we have a great music video, too.
Oh, we do. And it's on the YouTubes.
Uh-huh.
Your face, lady.
The bitter end of that sweet, sweet note. How long do you normally hold it when you play live? Be honest.
It varies. If I hit the overtone or not.
Depends how much drinking has been happening.
Yeah, I try not to go too hard before a show because we have a pretty physical live show.
Yeah, what is it? What does it involve?
Well, usually I have also other instruments. We all have, several of us have multiple instruments, and there's a lot of jumping around and twisting of knobs and electronics and stuff as well.
Sometimes crowd charging, you charge the crowd.
There's been some crowd charging over the years.
I love it.
Where does the name come from?
Well, I think it's most familiar to people that are from the South, because there are a lot of signs down there that say, bad credit, no problem. But I've noticed that in the North, some people are like, what the hell is that? Am I allowed to say H-E double hockey sticks?
You can say what the fuck you want.
Yeah. I was getting a little worried.
Hell is the one that you were concerned about?
No, I was worried about future curses.
Is it, it's like a, what is it, like a loan thing?
Yeah. And, I mean, generally everybody in this band is jazz
bad
rich.
Credit
jazz rich.
What what is a jazz rich defined as?
Carter,
jazz rich is like tens of dollars.
Tens of dollars.
Yeah, it's like pretty much all the money in jazz.
Yeah, it's a, is it a week by week denomination, day by day,
sometimes night by night?
Yeah.
Gig to gig.
Yeah.
Nope.
Which means I'm very lucky to be playing with these guys, because this is a passion project for dudes that really get their hustle on around town and play with a lot of amazing people.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, I've seen you all in like various iterations. You want to shout out some of your side projects, current projects, long-time dreams, full-time fantasies?
I play with a singer-songwriter. Her name is Lachi Lisa.
I didn't even know this, Josh. Do you have a secret life?
Yeah, I do. I'm a little bit of a secret life. But yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a little different than you know, what we do here. It's a little more, I feel like it's kind of more kind of conventional dance pop. stuff that nature. But again, I get to use a lot of effects and a lot of fun stuff like that. So yeah, it's great. But yeah, I love these guys too. It's all love.
How often do you guys get together?
Well, lately a lot less because I was gone for the summer. I went to France, and it was kind of hard to commute. but we kind of needed a break anyway because we're working on a record, and it's sort of murdering us slowly.
What's the writing I mean, there's more of you, right?
There's one more of us, yeah, Jason Disu.
What is the writing process among, you know, seven musicians?
I'd like Chris to answer that.
A lot of how we made the new record was just sitting around in our rehearsal space, which is Shea Stadium, or was Shea Stadium. And me and Josh would just start hammering out different grooves, which I know is how at least three of the songs got made, if not more.
Yeah.
And we would establish something solid and funky that I would prefer, that you wouldn't hate listening to over and over. And then... we have these amazingly talented horn players to just sprinkle over the top whatever they feel like.
Is that the highest achievement? Like, I wouldn't hate listening to this. Yeah.
That's the best. You know, like, I really think that some of my favorite music is stuff that I can sleep to. Like, I think it's a really great achievement to not be offensive.
not that that's what we sound like.
Yeah.
We're not sleepy, but you know,
I understand.
Yeah,
what you
mean.
A lot of the new stuff, though, you had lyric ideas too that we kind of made ground. That the rhythm section made ground.
Yeah, there was a lot of that too. I mean, it's a kind of a concept record. It's kind of the idea is like I want to cast myself as sort of a macabre Rick James character.
What's your cape game like?
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interior design, so like when I raise my arms.
Who's the one that puts it on your shoulders and tries to get you off the stage?
That's definitely Trevor.
Yeah.
Wasn't that James Brown?
Oh, who did you say?
Rick James.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to talk about James. Rick James is even better.
Vicious cape game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, Rick James, I really do have a great respect for, and I got really deep into his catalog in the last couple of years. So I think part of what we'd do when we were finding our groups would be to listen to some of that stuff, SOS Band and some of these really great early 80s dance tracks and kind of go from there and make it our own.
Do you have anything new that we can hear?
Yeah. We were going to save it for last, but we could do it now.
Let's just do it now. Okay, we'll close it out with like an oldie but goodie.
Okay,
yeah, sounds mix good. It up. What's this one called?
This one's called Nora.
Okay. Live on Snacky Tunes.
To have the beat inside her breast, she devoted her life to being the best. She helped all of those in need. She gave away everything, but she couldn't give away the beast. She broke down while she was a champion, a beacon. she'd say I was just kidding. You know how much I love you, but you couldn't give away the beast.
Awesome. Stopped on a dime. Yeah.
That's Ryan Whiteside on saxophone, by the way.
So when you guys are writing together and getting this together, where do you land on for food? Seven people. That's like that's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
No, there are two. There are two. There's pizza in Indian, for sure.
Yeah.
Indian pizza, really.
Yeah.
No, we don't do that.
Any spot in particular for Indian food? I feel like it's kind of like not always like the best spots in our area.
Yeah, well, you have to go dish by dish, really, I think, in our area. And I live in Bushwick, and we practice sort of in Bushwick at Shea Stadium, so there's a different place for each one. But at Shea, we order from Taj Kebab, even though they never bring utensils, but they have the best chicken malay. Like, it's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes it so good?
It's just coconut and sweet. Well, it's kind of slipping. Not that I've still been ordering it all the time. Secretly without you guys. But
every day. Every meal.
I just keep hoping it'll be back to what it was. The tender chicken. But I don't think they're marinating it in the yogurt correctly.
Do you think that you can... Can you say something?
Like, be like, yo, guys, we need to have a talk.
Well, I mean,
don't even bring utensils.
Let me put, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, they
but would you respect if, like, let's say you guys are maybe not doing as well as a band, and if, like, a true fan can be like, I love you guys. Is everything okay? The last few months, shows haven't been as tight.
Dry chicken.
Do you think you're going to be like, look, I love you guys. I order from you every day, sometimes twice. I just, what's going on? Is it problems at home?
Is it me?
Do you know that I'm going to order no matter what, so I just get your second best, or you change my name?
That's always my question.
Maybe if you got burner phones, started pretending to call from other numbers.
I think that might have to happen, because I need it back.
But how much would that fuck you up if you called from a different number, and the dish came better, and then, like, it just totally made you rethink delivery?
I would cry.
It's a personal affront.
Yeah. And
now the seed has been planted. Come by your phone. I want to order Indian food.
Yeah, totally. Well, now everything's seamless, too, so I'm probably have some serious red flag, like, this chick always puts all caps on her directives and demands brown rice.
It's funny. I do feel like this band is really tied pretty closely with food. I mean, the first few rehearsals I ever did with the band, it was
think we would go over to your place and you would just cook a bunch of food for everybody.
For those listening out there, Carrie Ann is an amazing, wonderful chef.
Oh yeah, what's your best? Well, what's your favorite dish she cooks, and what's your favorite dish that you cook?
Oh God, have I even cooked for you guys?
What
probably
have you
just
made
stir fries and shit.
You did collars once for us. Swordfish collars, those fish collars. They were amazing. You also make really good like stews and
stews.
You've done.
I like to think I was specialist in gruel. I really especially with large bands like this, you know, you have to be able to, like, I catered our video shoot, and it was something like 40 people. So there was a lot of gruel happening. There are a lot of big pots and things that you can make a mess.
Will you sometimes put, like, you know, 5 pieces of meat for your 6 bandmates and be like, one of you is not, one of you is just not getting it.
The vegetarian.
4 pieces.
Yeah,
I have seen him eat chorizo, just for the record.
Okay.
For the, he's a fallen,
is that what got
fallen
you?
Man.
You're fallen.
It was the weirdest thing. Can I tell this story? Can you tell this story?
Well, I mean,
it's just weird. It's not really a good story.
Yeah, just tell it.
My vegetarianism is hanging on by a thread and has been for years.
Right, right. So we love to exploit it.
So any opportunity I have to, you know, I figure if meat is served to me, the animal has already been killed.
Yeah, but what if it's my taco?
Hey, yeah, there was that time in Austin you ate my bacon burrito. Like breakfast burrito.
I don't really know if this threat exists anymore. As a casual outside observer that knows nothing of your history.
Yeah, I'm a pretty bad vegetarian.
So what's next for you guys?
Well, we're working on this record. It's gotten stalled due to funding issues, and I have to see some guy.
Wait, is that a Craigslist thing?
No,
he just said bad credit, no credit, no problem.
Yeah.
That's our man.
Yeah. And we're like, you lied.
Bad credit, no credit, problem. Yeah.
So it's been epic because I've really gotten into the recording process and I want to do everything correctly and try to have everything, especially with these gorgeous horn players, have everything nice and warm and analog, and it's expensive.
Yeah. As it tends to be. Well, I want to make sure we have time for one oldie but goodie.
Cool.
But where can people find you, find your earlier works, see your music videos?
Well, YouTube, don't type in bad credit, no credit, because there are a lot of ads on there. Type in vampire song, vampire with a Y.
Oh.
That's right. And we also have badcreditnocredit.bandcamp.com and facebook.com/badcreditnocredit.
That wasn't taken?
No, and people are pissed. Yeah.
I was trying to, like, finance cars and just,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for coming out.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks to the family at Root & Bone for coming out and sharing their meatloaf story with us. We'll be back next week. Darren and I will actually both be here. And winter is upon us, so drink some whiskey.
Winter is coming.
Winter's here. What are you going to take us out with?
This is called The Last Battle, and it's also on The Whole Buffalo, which is a record that we have out in the world.
That you could potentially have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a price.
To help fund the next record.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for being on, guys.
Thanks.
We forget to pay attention, and you remember to hold my hand. to earth received a destiny and all I can do is cry. As she takes my love away from me, as she takes my love away from me, as she takes my love away from me, as she rips my love away from me. Oh, you were too late. Yeah, you were too late. Yeah, you were too late.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.